Hey, I'm Casey.
I'm Clint.
And I'm Nate.
And this is another episode of Conclave Radio.
Woo! Yay!
So, this is going to be a fun episode. We're talking about jobs, careers, what we do for the moolah.
For the moolah.
Yeah. It's I love my job.
I love my job. Nate?
My job's pretty good. I mean,
you like your boss, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I've got a great boss.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
He lets me call in sick whenever I need to, which
he seems
not
like
much.
A cool boss. He seems like he gives you a lot of free will there.
But the problem is you're stuck with him all the time.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, yeah. He, like, follows me home and...
You see him in the mirror?
Weird stuff, yeah.
Even the moment you quit the lawn business, you're going to be around your boss.
Man.
Pretty much, yeah.
I'm not that blessed. But hey, I am blessed to have the job I do have.
That's right. Mm. That's right. It's a big subject because everybody, you know, some people will get the early job, like when you're, you know, an early teenager, you might find like a little summer job or a little side project, and then the older you get, that job becomes more important and more crucial in your life.
Yeah. Chase, my younger brother, he's 14, he's about to turn 15, and he's already thinking like, I want a job. And I'm like, what? You know, he actually asked me, he was like, can I just come work at the church with you this summer? And I was like, oh, well, that's a big question. I don't know. But he's like ready to jump in. I didn't start working until I was 17 at Zaxby's.
Man, I've heard so many great stories about the Casey Hall days at Zaxby's.
Oh, there are too many stories. Probably.
But you're not anti-Zaxby's even to this day. You're still product there that you're still a big fan of, right?
Oh,
The sensational salad.
Yeah. No, I would go eat Zaxby's today.
Yeah.
I'm
but Zaxby's. You know how some people are, like, when you get that job in high school or whatever, you know, like, you, especially if it's food, and because you see it all the time, you smell like it 24/7. Like, the last thing you want to do is to go there. But you never got that way with Zaxby's.
Well, my bedroom smelled like fried chicken.
Do you think people are like that if you work for Chick-fil-A? You remember, because like we think it's the Lord's chicken, but you find out people that work there, do they still want to go to Chick-fil-A?
I feel like it's mixed because we got a Chick-fil-A in Calera, like, I guess it was 3-4 years ago. Wow. Of course, I had a lot of friends,
sure,
like, you know, go work there, and
you're a man of the people.
Yeah. And it was mixed because right when they started, I my friend Hayden, he would walk into school every morning with like Chick-fil-A breakfast, like every morning, and he worked there.
Yeah,
I was never like that privileged.
And then like eventually, you know, some people still liked it, and some people were like, I don't want to see it. Like, I don't want to smell it, see it.
Yeah.
It's gross.
I often wonder if it's more about the food or just like the people you work for. Like, if you have a bad boss there, talking about like a boss, you know, if your management is bad, it kind of turns you off even to the food because you just don't want to have anything to do with it unless you're on the clock.
There were a few bad managers that I don't want to think about.
I can't imagine.
No names, I guess, but whatever.
Yeah, I feel like you can like what you do and have a bad manager, or you can not like what you do and have a good manager, and either way you're kind of
I think
a manager could probably affect how much you like work too, but
yeah,
I worked for a telecommunications company,
mm-hmm,
and I had some jobs there where I did not enjoy the work at all, but the people I worked with I enjoyed, you know, mm-hmm, and that kind of like made it tolerable.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
you know, so really it can be opposite too, where you have, you really like what you do, but man, the people you work for make it so.
Yeah, that's how my job is.
Yeah, the person you work for, man, he's the worst.
Yeah, gosh, yeah. I don't think I could have asked for a worse boss.
I agree.
That's a joke.
You should see how he is when he's not here. He's even worse.
Uh oh.
Yeah.
I have to ask Gilberto.
That's right.
Yeah. Man, you're in a different place.
You're also an
employer.
You're an employer. Ooh.
Sort of.
That's a lot of responsibility.
No, not sort of.
I mean, you kind of, I mean.
You're an employer. I mean, you're a part-time employer.
Yeah.
But
still.
That still counts.
I'm still figuring out all that stuff.
All the jazz.
Especially like the specifics and legal stuff about that.
Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah.
I'll leave that to the big guys.
It's not fun. Yeah. Especially like my mom is a very like, you know, organized, like, know everything before you do everything. And I'm just kind of like, let's just go and we'll figure it out.
You figure it out later.
It's very stressful, but, you know, most of the time I usually get it figured out.
I think Pastor Clinton and I were talking about this earlier, or I said it. When I went into working at Zaxby's, I had a very certain view on people. I loved being around people, and I loved being in places filled with people. And then I learned how people can be.
Right.
I was a cashier or worked drive through. I was at the upfront team is what they call it. And man, there were just some people who surprised me by either how mean they were or how dumb they were. Sometimes, unfortunately, some people are not the brightest or smartest. Yeah. And then I left Zaxby's with a different view on the world.
Yeah.
I think fast food does that. Or
we talked about that, how we think every person should at least work 6 months at some time in your life working with the general public.
I think I would say a year.
Yeah. I mean, you need that experience to see what people are. You know, like if people that work in like fast food, or like if you were a server, boy, your world is your world of view, your point of view is so differently when you go in as a customer. Because I remember when me and Lisa first started dating, she was a server at Olive Garden. And she would talk about how it was great for the guys that gave good tips and stuff. But she remember lots of times when she would get literally a dime of a tip.
Oh,
you know,
gosh.
And you're like, man, you know. And so
I've never understood that. I worked fast food, but I never did that. I don't think I could.
Yeah, when you're paid, you know, I forgot the statistic, but it's like, you know, for a server, you get paid generally like around $2 or $3 an hour.
Yeah.
And you depend, that number has not changed in like 20 years.
Nope.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
The fact that inflation keeps going up.
So do you think tips go up? I mean, like.
No, tips. No. Well, I mean, I guess by default it does, because it's by percentage of the overall bill. But still, don't you think our server is worth more than $2 or $3 an hour?
Sometimes,
I do.
Sometimes.
Well, there's some that may not be worth the two or three, you know.
Yeah.
But, so I think everybody, you know, you have a good perspective on life when you work a little bit with the public.
Yeah. It's like that for me, too.
Oh, yeah.
And it's even, it's not like worse on my end, I don't think, but.
You go to their houses.
Yeah. It's definitely something I'm more comfortable with, but at the beginning, a lot of people don't like paying before.
Yeah, see, that would be tough.
Do us a favor. Remind us what exactly do you do for podcast sake?
Oh, that's true.
Oh,
what
for
do you
podcast
do?
Sake.
You guys have no idea what we're talking about. We're just going to start talking about what we do.
Yeah, I have a lawn care business.
Lawn care business. That's right. Yeah.
That's what he calls it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and we cut grass.
That's it.
See, but, he cuts grass.
But yeah.
We're not in California.
Yeah. But yeah, like some people, you know, you go pay before you get your food,
mm-hmm.
but like, you know, you go do work and that's like different.
Sure.
Or I had someone this week actually that wanted us to cut their hedges and they showed me everything. I'm like, okay, we cut the hedges. And the worst is when you tell them you're done and they want to come out and look at it. And it's like, I get that. Cause like, if I was on the other end, I'd probably
want
to look
at
it.
You want it how you want it.
But like the guy comes out there and he's like, oh, like they need to be at least a foot shorter. And I'm like, you do understand that, like, the green part of the hedge is on the outside, so we keep going. This is going to look just like a,
bunch
of sticks.
I've learned a lot about lawn care from listening to you talk. So when people ask, I'm going to be like,
understand. So did you cut it a foot shorter?
We did, because he offered more money.
Oh, praise the Lord. Okay.
I
Jireh.
I didn't do it very happily, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't have a good attitude about it, but I did do it.
Yeah, because you perform a service. And so, like, I see that from the customer standpoint is, well, I don't want to pay until I see it's done. But there's risk there because you could get stiffed.
Yeah. I mean, but it's like with your food, like Netflix, like, you know.
At a restaurant, sometimes you pay after you eat.
So, yeah.
Counter service, I pay first. Server, I pay on the back end.
Yeah.
That's true.
So
that's when you tip.
Right, and that's why people get stiffed, because they've already, You ever been in a restaurant before? One time I was at a restaurant at the beach, and we were eating a meal, and there was a people near us. I saw the guy's plate. It was a plate like looked like I had eaten. Like, it was pretty much gone. Calls the server over and says their steak was undercooked.
Oh, gosh.
And wanted a refund, but they ate the whole steak.
Yeah. I don't understand. No, here. Well, here's a fun one.
Had to make sure.
Yeah, had to make sure it was under, like. So I was working drive through. I wasn't at the window, but a lady comes up and she gives us back the bag and the box, but it was empty, and she said she wanted a refund. Because, and she didn't have her receipt.
Of course not.
She wanted a refund because the wings were too saucy.
But she ate them.
Well, but she, no, they weren't in they there weren't because in there. She ate them, but they were too saucy, so she wanted a refund. And I think they ended up giving her a refund. Yeah, usually. But it's like, what?
Yeah, it's just not worth the trouble of just saying no and.
Yeah, because then they'll stand there, and then they're going to block the drive-through.
Oh, you can't be, can't be slowing down the drive-through.
I feel like the context of an older person saying they're too saucy versus like a younger person right. saying
it was like,
it's
a,
like a completely
lady.
Different meeting.
I think I could be at the front of the line for Chick-fil-A drive-thru and say, I just need y'all to give me $100, and they might would give it to me just so that they don't slow down the operation of the drive-thru.
That's true.
Yeah. You know? I mean, because it's a fine-tuned machine over there.
Did you see that video? It was like either this past week or the week before last. Someone tried to carjack a car in the middle of the Chick-fil-A drive-thru.
I think I didn't watch the video, but I saw
it. Yeah, the Chick-fil-A employee literally took them down.
That's what I'm talking about.
Like, you know, grabbed them, like hit them a few times, got them on the ground, and then once they're on the ground, they just held them. And the management came out there and called the cops, and I don't know.
Oh, yeah, he was in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gave him like a stone cold stunner out there. So like,
yeah. And I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard somewhere that they're like going to give him his own store or something like that.
Wow.
Hey, man.
That may not be true.
That's good customer service.
Yeah.
We've talked a lot of food. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I was about to say, I was wondering when this was going to turn into just restaurant talk.
Yeah. But everybody can relate. Everybody loves the Lord's Chicken and Zaxby's and grass cutting. And
yeah, no matter what you do, you know.
Yeah.
It matters.
But everyone relates to this stuff because either you've worked there or you've been there or, yeah. So I understand. Yeah.
It's a lot of experience. It's all about experience.
But,
yeah. Different experiences. Cutting lawns is not the same as getting in front of people and preaching to them. But at the same time, I think it could be as impactful depending on how you do it, why you do it, what your mindset is. It's a lot of office work. I never thought I'd actually have an office. I'm thankful.
There's a lot of administrative stuff that goes into a ministry job.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This morning, Paul Champion, who is our senior adult pastor and the on the facilities team, he said he had a different perspective coming into the team at Metro. You know, he would have the outlook of looking at ministers and wondering what they do all day. He's like, we just sit and read the Bible. That's it.
Yeah.
That's how we prepare. But then he comes in and he's in our facilities team and he's talking. He says, like, it's nonstop. It's all the time. It's something different. We're like, yeah.
And we had a new staff development thing we started doing today. And when it finished, I looked at the table and I said, okay, Paul, I need to see you. And Casey, after that, I need to see you. And Andrew, after that, I need to see you. And Abby, I'll come find you after all that. Literally, it was just boom, 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 you know?
Yeah.
So it's you know, and there's some people in life that's the worst thing you could hear, like to think that would be part of your day, you know, and you would think I would much rather be using my hands and, you know, building something or making something. Whereas if I heard that, I would be mortified, you know, because I can't do that. And I think that's just one of the great things that the Lord gives all of us, just different gifts and talents and things that we like and don't like. And, you know, it wouldn't be good if all of us wanted to be in meetings all day because nothing would get.
Yeah.
You know, but it wouldn't be good if we are all on the other side of it too. So I think it's so interesting how we're all wired so uniquely.
Yeah, we would either all talk about doing stuff all day and nothing would happen,
right?
Or we'd all just be doing something different.
Exactly.
Well, I've had a job like that too, where it was all talk and no walk. That I think that's worse. That gave me a horrible. I felt so unaccomplished just because it was meeting after meeting after meeting. But yeah, it is cool. But not only that, but like I've gained skills from jobs too. You know, the Lord,
absolutely.
Like the Lord uses those even horrible experiences in the workplace to equip us to do certain things. You know, I was, before I became the associate youth and young adult pastor here, I was actually on the facilities team and I've helped like build stuff and learned how to fix toilets and everything, weird skills that I don't know how often I'll use, but it makes buying a house seem a little more doable.
Sure.
Handy skills.
This just came into my mind, but do you remember that one sermon Pastor Jason had where he talked about, like, he worked at a grocery store, yeah, and he had to clean, and he had to use the machine called?
Yeah, the floor sweeper machine, the buffer or whatever.
Oh. And he's like, they start working out of school,
uh-huh,
and they're like, hey, like, we need someone to run this. And he's like, okay, I know how to do it, you know.
Yeah.
And then it maybe got to a church, too, and then they, like, we just need, you know, we need someone to run the, and he ended up having to, like, he learned how to
multiple
run the floor
times
machine,
over,
like,
yeah,
didn't want, yeah, to, you know, and then he ended up, like, using those skills, like, through several different jobs,
oh,
after,
yeah,
that.
There's no telling how many times a week I use something from when I worked with the said telecommunications company. Not about phones and stuff, but just, yeah, how to interact with people or how to deal with it or just all those different things, you know. And so, yeah, I think even in when we're in a bad job situation, and everybody has probably had that at some form,
sure,
sometime or another, you know, God can use that, you know, for the next stage of your life. You know, I was always told, even if you're in a bad job, you know, my mom would say this a lot. She'd say, you know, you can do pretty much anything if you know you don't have to do it forever, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just have to just grin and bear it and get through it. But even in that time, so when you're working at a job that you just hate, and I have been there,
mm-hmm,
man, God can really teach you so much and prepare you for something 5 years down the road that you thought, oh my gosh, even when I hated it,
yeah,
I guess I was still learning something and I could use it when I was in a better position.
Oh yeah, yeah. And I remember, not even that, but he can also equip you, and he sets your skills up to do something, especially career-wise, that you maybe didn't even expect to do. You know, we talked about this before, I'm a broken record, but like, I went into college with going into a graphic design degree, and I was thinking, man, I'm going to have to learn how to freelance. Ooh, good Lord. You know, design work, how to pay a designer, what to pay for, what kind of work goes into it. I was making big old binders of 50 different designs that were turned down and whatnot. And then I got the job at the church, and now I'm a pastor. So working on that graphic, with all those graphic design skills that I use every day, though, you know, because it helps me with social media and stuff, so we look better than we are. Just kidding, we're fantastic. Find us on social media.
Are we all over social media?
We're all over social media.
Oh, there it is. There
it is. There it is. But, yeah, it's so cool how God equips us for that, even things that we weren't expecting to do, you know?
And you know, and sometimes if, like, when we're in a bad job, you think, well, I must be out of God's will. That's not necessarily true either.
No.
Yeah.
You know, like, where in the Bible does it say that every job, every season of your life is going to be a pleasant one?
Yeah.
You know, everybody thinks, well, it's awful. This must not be God's will for my life. Where does it say that in the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that's so leading by your feelings, or you're trusting your heart on that, when the Bible says the heart is deceitful. You know, and so we need to remember that, too, is that, you know, when you're in a bad spot with a job you hate, that doesn't mean that you're not where God wants you to be. Does that mean that God is going to leave you there forever? Maybe not, you know, but those aren't mutually exclusive, right?
Yeah, and I worry about, like, maximizing. Wow, that was bad. Maximizing my time. And so sometimes if I am spending my time doing something, not necessarily that I don't like, but I just don't believe in or whatever, I'm like, oh, I'm wasting my time, whatever. But I think it's important to realize that no time is really wasted, because you're learning little snippets. You may learn how to do something, or you may learn how not to do something.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a job that you really don't like and it's because of your leader, well, hey, like, that's a great example of what not to do,
right,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a firm believer in blooming where you're planted.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, wherever I'm at, you know, say you're taking school classes that you just don't absolutely love, right? You should bloom where you're planted,
man.
Right?
Right.
Or if you're at a job that you just don't think that's going to be your final resting place for a career, you bloom where you're planted, you know, because God can use you. God's doing a big thing, right?
Right.
And we get to play a small part in the big things God is doing. And it may be at that school, or it may be at that job that you're not just in love with. God can use you there in the midst of that. In addition to all the training and preparation,
right,
and equipping, God could possibly be using you for, like, his kingdom. I know that's a crazy thought.
It is a crazy thought. Well, like, there's purpose in our work. There's a reason we are where we are, and that's what you're saying. Even if we don't like it, there are things that we can do with our job, in our job, how we use it, how we connect with the people in it or around it, that shows the love of God, mm-hmm. that shows Jesus's love. Even if it's for that season, whether he's equipping us or building us or setting us up for the next season, we're there for a reason.
Yeah.
We are there because it was set in our path, because he knew that we were going to,
yeah,
you know, accept that job offer, right?
I remember there was a, when I worked one of my secular jobs, and there was a girl that I worked with who had a lifestyle contrary to what scripture teaches. Mm-hmm. And she got married, and she came back from a honeymoon, and she was showing people at the workplace pictures from her wedding. And I noticed that she wasn't showing me the pictures because she, you know, and I said, "Hey," I said, you have pictures showing pictures? She said, "Yeah." She said, "But I thought since you're a pastor, you know, you probably, you know, I know you don't support that. And so I didn't think you'd really want to see it." And I said, "Well," I said,
"Marriage?
Her type of marriage would not be supported by scripture."
Oh, I see.
And I said, "Well," I said, "I don't support that." I said, "But I support you." You know, I support you. And I said, "I'd love to see your pictures," you know. And would I have had that opportunity working at a lot of places? No. You know, and so, but it was just an opportunity. I knew that it was an opportunity for me to show Christ's love, you know, and not shun her and not act like I thought she had this scarlet letter, you know, where I could, you know, I didn't waver on my belief system, but I was able to say, you know what, God loves you and I love you, you know, and so I'm supposed to be God's hands and feet.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was always and that was a time when I hated my job, you know, but God can still use us even when we hate our job.
I knew, at Camp Utopia, camps like the COG camp that happens every summer, and it happens for 3 weeks and whatnot. There's a bunch of jobs mm-hmm. that happen throughout the week.
Oh boy, I've had some bad ones there too.
I'm telling you, you can be a counselor and hang out with the kids all the time, which is what typically I hear a lot of people want, of course, but then you've got the jobs that are in charge of rec or the activities or the swimming or something, which is like, okay, great. And then you have the jobs like what they call the canteen.
I work canteen.
You, Pastor, I work canteen
two summers in a row.
How awesome was that?
You know, again, it's grunt work, but you know, it's a perfect example of who you work for. Won't go into details here.
Exactly.
But it's a lot about who you work for. The person who I worked for last year, man, fantastic guy. His wife makes us homemade ice cream on one of the last nights of every week, and they do that just to show their appreciation. Man, I'd run through brick walls for somebody who's gonna make me homemade ice cream, you know. And do you like it? No. Do you like mopping up when everybody else is getting to have fun? No, you don't. But no, you know, it's okay.
Yeah, well, and again, it's about mindset too.
Sure.
Well, because then you have the custodial team.
Oh, now that's the bad job.
Yeah,
that's the bad
and
job.
I've heard people like complaining about that job because they hate it, and it's like, why am I here, you know? This isn't the reason I came, but it may not be the reason.
Camp is for the kids. That's what we were always told.
Yeah, camp
is for the kids. Thinking, well, I hate this. This is not for me. Well, a good thing, because it's not for you.
Yeah.
It's for the kids. It's kind of like at worship service when people says, I don't like that song. And you can say, that's okay, because we're not singing
to you. We're not singing to you.
We're not singing to you.
Yeah. Even if you're cleaning toilets, camp is fun. Fun is camp.
That's right.
Or whatever the saying is.
We love you, Ron Bristow, if you're listening.
But there's purpose in that work. There's purpose in leading the kids in a cabin and trying to win the spirit stick, but there's also purpose in cleaning the
Absolutely.
Toilets and in the showers and whatever else, because you, like you said, we are the Lord's hands and feet. That's how it works. There's a lot of moving parts to God's kingdom, and sometimes that includes jobs, you know.
And scripture tells us, you know, whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. Do it with all your heart, and do it as if you're doing it for the Lord, you know. And so that's something to remember, that, you know, we're not just working like the world works. You know, we're working for kingdom. And so when you're doing that obscure job at camp or whatever you're doing, you know, you're doing it for the Lord. You're not doing it for man. That got me through many a times in jobs that I didn't really particularly love. It was a good reminder that, hey, you're not working for them.
Right.
No, you're working for the Lord. And that really gives you a new, unique perspective on things, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're on Wednesday nights. We're starting a new series in Proverbs, and so I was looking, just kind of bouncing around in Proverbs, not reading a specific part or anything, but I got to 16, and I think it's Proverbs 16:3, and it says, you know, commit your work to the Lord. And I think I'm getting two translations mixed up, but it was one half was commit your work to the Lord, and the other part was like, and it will be successful. Mm-hmm. I think that's from two different translations. But yeah, I think that's important, because whatever you're working for will depend on what in your mind is success.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you are working, you know, to give glory to God and like minister to other people, then in your mind you're going to be successful.
That's right.
And that's going to make you feel good every day. Even if you have a terrible day,
sure,
you're like, well, I didn't get paid anymore, and I did, you know, whatever in overtime, and it was just terrible, nothing went right, but I got to minister to that one person. So yeah. that in your mind is success.
And that's a win.
Yeah, and I feel like we live in a really greedy world today where it is all about
the dollar
and, you know, me, and
you do you. That's what they say.
Boo.
You do you, boo. But that's not what it's about. Not really. But yeah, I've had a lot of crazy jobs. Some I didn't like. Some I do like. I like my job now. But I had to work to get here. I worked my way up the totem pole. I started in facilities team.
No matter what job you're working right now, you might be working right now while you're listening to us. You might be working a job that you absolutely love absolutely hate, but you're doing it for the Lord, right?
You may be mowing your lawn, needing some wisdom.
That's one of my favorite podcasting times is when I'm cutting grass.
Yeah,
I agree.
And I hope this gives you more motivation and more inspiration to do it well and do it with a purpose, as if you're
doing it for the Lord.
As if you're doing it for the Lord. That's right. So, but hey, I'm Casey.
I'm Clint.
And I'm Nate.
And we'll see you on the next episode of Conclave Radio. We'll